The Pinball Network is online. Launching Final Round Pinball Podcast.
It's player versus player and player versus machine. Welcome to the final round.
Look at us, almost regular, but at our age, nothing is regular.
I tell you what is regular, Jeff, your annoying Canadian accent, my wheezy smoker's laugh, and my stupid over-exaggerated Australian accent. That is regular. You are going to get that every episode.
That's right. According to one of our fans.
Cunt.
You know, we love getting feedback, good or bad, at yep. Final Round Podcast. What is it? Fuck. Final Round. Final Round Pinball at gmail.com. Please send yep. it to us.
Yeah.
We will respond. We will read. And sometimes we'll cry when we read some great, great comments. And basically, Martin just gave you the synopsis of not one, but two hate-filled emails from people so, they've never met. It was awesome.
I know. Again, it's one of those things. Even the emails like that just make us laugh. So be as fucking toxic as you want. All you're doing is making us laugh hysterically with my wheezy smoker's laugh.
How about that, eh?
Yeah, right. Crikey. Bonza, mate. You fucking cunt.
You got any shrimp on the barbie there? Hey. Oh, fucking.
So I think I don't know what the title of this episode is going to be, but it'll be along the lines of fucking hell, social media, just social graces are just fucking gone. People are just cunts most of the time these days, and there's no need for it. And John Wick is case in point. Let's talk about the release of John Wick Pinball. Jeff, what did you think? Because apparently, according to everybody, it's a fucking piece of shit.
Well, there's one thing that is in common with a lot of the comments that came out about John Wick, and of course some of them were negative, actually many of them were negative, but the things that were in common with every single one of them, none of the fucking people had played the game. They just they bitched on it before they played it. Like, I'm not saying your view isn't how you feel, fine, great, awesome, you want yep. certain things, that's cool. Please, for the love of God, play the fucking game before you make any comments. I can't make any comments other than, hey, this is a broken record. I want to play the game.
Okay. Can I give you right now?
By the way, we need to do a full disclosure too. If we're going to be talking John Wick, we'll get to the social media stuff there, but we never give disclosures. People listening like, they're listening with their, I assume, small children in the car when they listen to this program.
Right.
We want to let you know we're going to be talking a lot about John Wick. So full disclosure, Martin is going to have a raging heart on this whole episode. It's Keanu Reeves, baby. Boner alert.
You do know. I do have a thing for Keanu that's going to be true. Okay. But I just want to back up your point. A couple of amazing things have happened since we last spoke. Obviously, Eurovision, which we'll get to later. But one thing I'm going to mention, which is going to be a massive case in point. I got to play for the very first time Jaws Pinball.
What version?
LE.
Ashman?
Yep. And Ray. Danger Ray. I gotta tell you, I think it's possibly Elwin's best game.
Wow. Somebody's come around.
Because, hey, I tell you why I came around, Jeff. Get this. This is gonna be a real puzzler. Guess what? I fucking played it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I played it. And, okay, do you know what I think it is? Okay, here's what I'm gonna tell you. It's as cool and as exciting, as inventive a layout as Godzilla, but with, I think, personally, in my view, just better rules. That's not true. Just different rules that are better suited to me and what I like. There you go. That's what I've said.
Wow. Now, this is funny because we're recording this on Saturday, basically Sunday, let's say, May 19th, and I'm about to see Mr. Elwin next week on Thursday in Chicago at Stern. And I'm glad you like this game because I know you've been critical Godzilla just wasn't for you. Do I think Jaws is a great pinball machine? Listen carefully. Yes, I do. It's my least favorite L1 game.
No, that's exactly right. This is what we say, everybody.
By the way, that's saying, like you're ranking Beatles albums. They're all fucking great, but you have to rank them. And I was thinking about Jaws. I'm like, what do I rather play? And no. Right now, it's not there. Now, let me change my mind because it's not even close to full code. So I'm sure that could change.
Yep. But what is there already? And this is why we say, look, these things are subjective. And this is what we're going to talk about John Wick shortly. And don't worry, it's not going to be one of those fake things where we say we're going to talk about it, but we never actually talk about it. We will talk about John Wick. But I think the point is, just because you think something doesn't mean, first of all, everybody thinks the same thing, and B, your opinion is valid. It's actually not. It's not valid. It's just an opinion. It's not truth. It's not fact. It's just your view, and it's all very different. And that's what I say. I've said many times, and someone accused me of the fact that, you know, I shit on, you know, new pinball machines that come out. That's actually not true. I try to give a very balanced view of machines, and I say, as you've said, it's just not for me. It doesn't mean I think it's a shit game. I've never said that Godzilla is a bad game, ever.
It's just not for you.
It's just not for me. It is still a fantastic game. I know everyone talks about how amazing Twilight Zone is. It's not for me. It's all subjective, people. And I guess the problem I'm seeing now with social media is who's trying their hardest to be the biggest fuckwit is really what I'm saying.
Here's the thing that I find, and you've listened to Pinball Profile, you've listened to Head to Head, you've listened to Final Round. These are our things that we create content on. If you listen to us, I mean, this is the closest thing to an opinion piece show that we have or that I have ever done. Pinball Profile is a lot of rah-rah. Here's things I'm promoting. Here's things the guest is promoting. Final Round, are there opinions? Yeah. Are we coating it with trying to make you laugh? Yeah. Are we coating it with your smoker's cough and my Canadian accent? You bet. You bet, eh? But this is not really an opinion piece. And the one thing all three of these podcasts have in common, at least for me, is I'm not an outrage guy. I mean, some people, honest to God, are outrage podcasts, and that's their lane. That's cool. That's awesome. That's great. Maybe that's your YouTube thing. That's what you want to do, and or when it warrants it, great. Fill your boots. I just I can't subscribe to it, and I really don't want to put my name or my stamp on it until, again, I've played the game. So as I just said, Jaws is my first of all, listen carefully. I love the game Jaws. It is my least favorite L1. That doesn't mean it's a shitty game. You know, there's a Venn diagram there. Make sure you get in the right spot there.
It's like saying what your least favorite blowjob is. I mean, it's still a blowjob, right?
Did you hear that, Keith? I'll see you on Thursday, buddy. Make it count, buddy. Pay attention to the balls once in a while, will you? And speaking of balls, I mean, the ball isn't in the shark's mouth. Were you able to get over that? Were you okay with that?
Made no difference.
Oh, but it means all the world.
No, I know. I love your nerdy voice. But it's not that. This is the thing, right? And you said it earlier, and I'll say it again. These opinions are your opinion. So I get that it's important to people. So even though I said before, you know, it's not valid, it's valid to you, and I get that. It's just an opinion. Like what we're saying now about other people's opinions, it's just an opinion about an opinion, right? So it's still just only our view. You make up your own mind. I just think that there's so much hate and negativity at the moment. Like, as we started with that email that came to us, which is just hilarious, but just stupid and unnecessary. Why so hateful? Why so much? Why is there so much hate in your life? What's happened to you as a person that's led you to this point in your life where you have to constantly be negative? I'm not saying that you need to be toxic positive, which is now a thing, toxic positivity. But what I'm saying is just have a nice cup of tea. Just relax a bit and just think, it's only pinball. And also, it's just pinball's meant to be fun. So let's just have fun with pinball. Am I wrong?
Our last guest, Jeff Rivera, on episode 80, by the way, this is episode 81, he kind of really broke it down, talking about the tribes that people are in. People are venting and finding their tribes where, oh, this person agrees with me too. So there are forums now for that. And it's really happened in North America here since really 2016. You connect the dots why that's the case. And hate is just easier to relate, I guess, or displeasure, or just the visceral stuff. And the reason I use the word hate, I'm not saying the other things, the Wick and all that, is all hate. But the email we got might have been. But it blows me away, because this person has never met Marty, yourself, or myself, and just went on and on about us. Honest to God,
yeah,
I don't understand that blind hate. And I say that because I was with somebody, and we were in a restaurant, and they're like, oh, shit, that's my lawyer's husband over there, and I don't want to see them. And I just said, wow, you know, I can go anywhere in the world, and I do travel a lot, where I don't have to worry about, oh, I hope I don't see so-and-so. I'm not friends with everyone. There are some people I'd rather not be social with, but I don't hate one fucking person in the world. And I got to tell you, it feels fucking great.
It's good, isn't it?
Oh,
it
is good. It's too much energy.
Yep. I mean, I got shitloads of people that hate me, but yeah. I don't hate people as well. You're right. It's just, it's not a good way to be. And I know we're not going to change the world with this podcast. And I know that some people may look at this and think, well, it's so hypocritical because you guys shit on everything. But like I was at a dinner last night. Hi, James and Jackie. Hi, James. You know James.
I do.
And I was saying, what you got to understand is that, because basically what he said is, I feel like we've already caught up. I'm like, yeah, but what you got to understand is that we're putting on a show. So it's show Marty. It's not necessarily exactly what I think. It's close enough, but we're putting on a show. We sort of rattle on some things just because we think it's a bit funny, but I don't think we've really wanted bad things to happen to people. And I think people want bad things to happen to us. And I don't know whether the punishment fits the crime.
I can say that about a lot of things in pinball over the last few years, for sure. But
correct.
It is what it is. More than anything else, we laughed. And
we had a very, very, very good laugh.
Yeah.
But not necessarily about John Wick. So let's talk about John Wick, because obviously it was revealed since we last spoke. And first thing for me, and I know you are a bit of a bastard sometimes because you don't tell me all the stuff that you know, right? Like, if you know a game's coming out, you don't tell me. So I assume that you knew John Wick was coming out. I didn't. I had no idea until a week before when they went, you know, John Wick coming soon. I went, oh, shit. I had no idea it was coming.
I think a lot of people were in that boat, probably.
Well done, Stern, right? You know what I mean? Like, they've always been criticized of having all their stuff leaked. But this time, well done.
Sure. Okay. I saw some criticisms about the way they laid it out. Remember the kind of 80s computer screen where they showed this date, this is going to happen, this?
Yep.
I saw some criticisms. Oh, it should all be in one day. I'm like, why? Like,
yeah.
Who am I to tell Stern how to market, or any pinball company, yeah, how to market their game?
Just sit back, have a drink, and watch it unfold over a week.
Here you go. Okay, first, that's another thing. We're not in the first impression business, right? So I think there's also, you want to be the first if that's a thing. And okay, great, awesome, cool, whatever. The first impression, which is weeks after the fact here on Final Round, was, holy fuck, I really want to play this game.
Yeah.
Looks pretty cool.
Yep. My actual first response was, huh, gee, that reminds me of Ghostbusters. But that's unfair. I think it was just the
city skyline.
Yeah, that building, whatever it is the Cosmopolitan?
I think so.
Yeah. Okay. Just so you know, side note, as soon as it was revealed, how many movies do you think I'd watched?
Zero.
How many do you think I've watched now?
One?
Three.
Oh.
Yep. I've still got the fourth to watch.
I saw the first flipping through years ago, and my son wanted to see the fourth when it came out, so we went to the theater and saw that, and it's not like I miss storyline or any kind of, oh, there's a plot twist. No.
No, you're not. No, you're not going to be mentally challenged with these movies. They are awesome. Can I just say? Fucking awesome.
That is the boner talk.
No, I don't have that much of a boner for Keanu. In fact, I could count the number of movies he's been in that I've watched on one penis. So that's 13. So stop that wheezy smoker's laugh. Oh, fucking made my day. It really did. Thanks, Don. So I'm not really that much of a big fan of Keanu. I also understand the limitations of his acting ability.
Well, see, there's another thing. I saw a critique saying, oh, it should have been Keanu voicing. And I'm like, no, it shouldn't. I've watched the John Wick movies. He kills more people than there are words in the movie. Like, he cannot speak.
Correct.
And I love, by the way, I love the guy. Like, I actually like the man more than I like the actor. I think everything I hear about him, I think he's just stand up. And by the way, we count him as Canadian. I know he lived here for a prominent part of his life and he's been all around. Wasn't born here.
I always thought he was Hawaiian.
Fuck it. We're taking him. He's Canadian.
Sure. Fine. I don't care. You can have him.
Okay.
But what he does in that movie just absolutely suits him. I've not really delved into any Wikipedias or any background, but I would imagine that it was written for him. Like, they've gone, okay, if it's a counter movie and we're going to make a movie based on his ability, this is what it's got to be. And just, I mean, the kill count is just fucking just through the roof.
See, now that's what the thing that kind of surprised me about the outrage was, because when I think of John Wick movies, I certainly think of him basically on a revenge tour. And stupid me, I actually didn't think of the guns, because the last movie I saw was Episode 4, and a lot of the duels and the great fight scenes are just that. It's combat. It's not guns, because guns pretty much end right away. Like, those kills are super, super quick. And also, it was the car and the exciting car chase scene, which, oh, wow, they've gotten the game, which is a really cool mech. So, believe it or not, when I think of John Wick, guns is actually low on the list for me.
Okay, having recently had these movies in my head, Guns is number one.
Really? I haven't seen 2 and 3.
Oh, okay. Well, there's shitloads more kills than the others, right? I was going to tell you the kill count on each of the films, but I won't.
Why not?
Okay, well, I will. 77 kills in the first film, 128 kills in the second film, 94 in the third, and 140 in the fourth. 439 deaths in these movies.
And a dog.
Wow, yes. Spoiler. So I would say, and the majority of those are by gun.
Ah.
So in actual fact, the thing that was starting to really just get me a little bit fatigued was the martial arts scenes. It's like,
oh,
fucking grab a gun and shoot the fucker. You know what I mean? Like, I just, what I love the most, and you know, I'm a very peaceful person, listener. So, you know, I'm anti-gun in real life. On movies, I want guns, right? And what I loved about this, I love John Wick, is he doesn't shoot these people once. Oh, no. They've got to have at least 3 bullets in them, minimum. Boom, boom, boom. Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
Oh, fucking hell. It is intoxicating. I get it. I understand why people are saying, why are there no guns on the playfield or as the shooter? Why are there no guns? I'm there with you, brother / sister. I'm there with you. Am I losing sleep over it?
No.
Is the question. I'm not, because there's still shitloads of violence in the videos.
Well, that's the thing. The videos show all that kind of stuff. So if Lionsgate didn't want it, okay, that's fine. There's another thing, too. The first time I saw the art without hearing any piece was like, wow, well done, Randy Martinez, who gave us Mandalorian and has done a lot of work really with Star Wars and stuff. So here's kind of outside the box doing John Wick. And I thought, oh, that looks pretty cool. I like the color scheme. It looks good. I'm looking forward to playing this game.
But you know what? I think this is the best art he's done. It is really, really good. I'm very impressed with it. It's one of these things where it's busy, so there's a lot for your eyes to take in, but it's colorful. This is why I always say, there's a couple of things that you've got to understand. There's the theme, and then there's the theme integration when it comes to the art. And what I mean by that is it's something as simple as an insert that's an arrow having some art around the arrow that integrates the theme. So it might be something that's a little bit ornate. Do you know what I mean? Understand what I mean by that?
Wow, you're getting deep.
Well, I am. Well, obviously, I'm in the business, right? But it's more so that there's two things you've got to factor in. You've got to factor in the theme that you're trying to represent and how you're now using pinball art to represent that on the playfield. He's just done a bang-up job. So, well done.
It's funny you say that because for me, again, my first impression is I don't really look at that thing at all, the integration. And I think the more I would. First impression, I don't. First impression is like, wow, I like the translate. Wow, I love the cab. The playfield, honestly, what I'm looking at is the shots. I'm looking at the ramps. I'm looking
at the bash
toy. I'm looking at how they've integrated the drop target and the pop bumper there. And just, man, it looks pretty cool. So again, I can hardly wait to play this game.
Yeah, I'm absolutely in agreement with you because I'm not obviously all that familiar with him, but who was the designer? Elliot Eisman.
Yes, new.
Yeah, well, he's done a lot of he's a mechanical engineer.
So first game, yeah.
Yeah, so fucking hell.
I know.
I would say for any game, well done, but your first game? Holy crap.
And good on Stern for really, in the last few years, you know, stepping up what Jack Danger's done, what Elliot has done, and, you know, finding new blood, if you will. This guy's obviously put in the time from the mechanical side and to step up to the big leagues, if you will. Pretty cool. In a year in which Stern has already promised us three cornerstones, at least, there's some vaults that we're expecting to see. The big rumors are Tron and Metallica, so we'll see those hopefully soon. And congratulations to Elliot, to Tim Sexton, who did the code on this game. And I don't know. I see it at a lot of locations in North America already. That's one thing I like about Stern is they release a game and they're out on location. I think if you can do that, that's a real strength and certainly strikes when the irons are hot, so to speak.
Yeah. So look, again, if we can go into a little bit of more, let's think about this strategically, right? So is John Wick a good theme?
Oh boy, you're asking the wrong guy because...
No, I'm not asking the wrong guy. I'm asking a guy and, well, not proven, but just trying to see whether you think, in your opinion, as a podcaster that has an opinion podcast, in your terrible Canadian accent, do you think John Wick as a brand is a great theme?
Without any explanation, and my only choices are yes or no, the answer is quickly yes.
Mine is a no, but also I hadn't seen any of the movies, so that's why I wanted to, oh my God, get this, get educated, stop me, right? And make up my mind. What I don't know is John Wick in the zeitgeist? Is it this theme that everybody knows about, everybody talks about, everybody loves? I don't know whether it is. And the reason why I say this is, again, hi James, this is based on a conversation that I had last night over dinner. Oh my God, this dinner was amazing, by the way. Jackie is just the best cook. Anyway, the question was pricing, because pricing isn't going anywhere. They are not going to reduce their pricing. It is still here in Australia for an LE over $20,000 Australian. So if the pricing isn't going to change, and because you've now priced a lot of people out of the market, and there's 1,000 LEs, by the way, and I still think that they're available. What is it that you need to do in order for people to be comfortable with $20,000 or whatever it is in US dollars, like $5? But you've then got to give value for money, right? So you've got to look at the game and think, well, what are you giving me now in the playfield and in this machine that warrants $20,000? Is it the theme? Is it what you actually put into the playfield? And I can ask you the question, but for me personally, I look at this game and I think, yeah, actually, you've done a good job to make me look at that machine and think, fuck, there's a lot more in that than what I would normally get from a Stern. Maybe, just maybe, $20,000 is okay. I still think the premium model is your go-to model.
Well, you get the same rules as the LE. So in that sense, yes, it's different art package. By the way, I love all three art packages. sometimes you come up with a machine and you're like, I really don't like such and such version, but I like the other ones. I like all three on this, so good job on the art. Again, the Ellie thing is a different, you know, I'm not a FOMO guy. It's a different breed. It's, we kind of jokingly talk about the whales in pinball that have to have it and feeling special and all that kind of stuff. So I don't have that mindset. I know I have an Ellie, but I don't think I would ever have another one. Guess if money was not an object, sure, but common sense, am I going to get that value back? Because all that aside, that's not the question I ask myself about a boot. That's not the question I ask. We got to take a time out here. Marty needs to go have a dart. The question I ask myself is not, is $20,000 worth it? Is a friend of mine, we'll just say his initials are JS, we're talking, and when it comes time to getting a new game, we both agreed that, okay, to bring in a new game into my home, into my collection, it has to be better than my worst game here.
Okay, yeah, you and I have had that conversation before.
Yeah, so
Led Zeppelin, obviously.
Well, sure. Well, fuck, is John Wick a better game than Joker Poker? 100 times better, but I also want that kind of older style game.
Yeah.
So it's a I have to compare era to era.
Correct, yeah.
You know, and we'll see.
You couldn't let Joker Poker go. That is such a good game.
My wife, it's her favorite game.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's like, it's not apples with apples, yeah? It's, yeah.
Is John Wick better than Ollie? 100 times better, but Ollie has some sentiment to me because it's the actual machine from Papa in which I beat the living shit out of Zach Sharp and turned it into a t-shirt. So I have to keep that. And there's just other games like that. You know, I got a Grand Slam game from the Louisville Arcade Expo that I haven't even really set up. Is John Wick better than that? 100 million times better. Of course it is. But I like the baseball theme of this.
The question you're asking is emotionally John Wick better than these games? And it's not, because emotional is very subjective and it's based on memories that you have and how you felt about a machine at a particular time. On paper, absolutely John Wick is better than all of those games.
You know, I say theme, it doesn't matter to me, but I guess it does because it's kind of the tipping point. It might be, I'm looking at a Rush machine right here. Is John Wick better than Rush? It could very well be. But what theme do I like more? Rush. Not even close.
When I was over at Hashman's, I played Rush again because I don't really get to play that much, as you know.
And it's your boy, John Borg. You love a good Borgie.
I do love being Borged. oh my God, Rush is great. It's great. It is just great.
It's the game I play more than any other game, and I have 10 here because it beats the living hell out of me. I have it set up tough. I haven't even come close to completing it, and I'm not saying I'm finding new things, but it's just it's a fun grind. Some games are really grindy, but this is a fun one, too.
Who did the rules for it?
Tim and Raymond Davidson.
Oh, bullshit. You two are fucking geniuses, legends, because that is what makes the game. It's a good layout, you know, it's a Borg layout, so you know what you're getting. But it's the rules that make you feel something. You feel so much through that game. Those two people right now, love you guys.
Well, that's funny you should say that. And they also did Led Zeppelin, another game I have in here. The criticism I have heard, Tim and Raymond are friends of mine, but the criticisms I've heard of those games are that they're really difficult to go up to for the first time and understand what the hell is going on. I have to agree with that criticism. That being said, owning it or playing a game a lot of times, you get to learn it and, oh my God, the rules actually make the game. Zeppelin, as much as I love Steve Ritchie, the rules totally make that game. If there's anything you like about it, it is the rules.
Well, I know people, like Hashman obviously says, and Greg Silber, you know, they love Led Zeppelin. So even though I play it and it leaves me unsatisfied, I've still got to objectively look at it and go, well, these people have got good taste in machines. So it must be a good machine. It's just one of those things, as we said before. It's just not for me. And I think it is that it's that accessibility. But if I think if I had a, like Star Wars, because again, I played that and it fucking just beat me to the ground.
Yeah.
But if I had those games at home and I could spend a lot of time with them, I'd probably fall in love with them. But as a turn up and quickly get satisfaction, no, you don't get it immediately. I think these are a slow, long burn, these games.
That is a really good point about Star Wars. It's funny, when I play pinball, I really play for one thing and one thing only, and I am probably in the minority, so I'm saying this, fully aware of this. I play games to think, how can I do in this game in a competition, and where can I not exploit, where are the shots that matter to me to get the points, to bring in a mode, to add a multi-ball, to blah, 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 which is not what most people do. So that being said, I do not play Led Zeppelin ever just for fun. But I look forward to it so much when it's in competition. But me turning on my Zeppelin machine, I can tell you right now, I don't turn it on unless I have a league night. Rush, I play the shit out of because it's fun. I hold my breath in competition. It's also a great competition game, but that's a game, again, Godzilla is great for all of the above, but probably I fear it a little more in competition because in big competitions, they're going to really bastardize the game and make it super sling out, gone, no posts, hard settings and all that stuff. So it's probably more of a fun factor for me than a competition game. But there is a real difference in these games. Star Wars, for example, you just gave a great example. I would rather play that for fun and to learn it and to go into it than see it in a competition and go, oh, shit, because you just don't know what's going to happen. But for fun, sure.
Okay, I'll put two other games into that I think, and everyone will hate me for saying this, but there's one game in particular that I love because I am good at it in tournaments and everybody else is shit at it in tournaments. That is WrestleMania. And so it is, I would say objectively, not a great game, but because I
love the designer, go on. You're editing the show. I'm curious if that'll stay.
We haven't agreed on whether I'm editing
the
show.
You're fucking editing. I'm going there for five weekends in a row. You're totally doing it.
Okay, whatever. Anyway, so it's one of those things. Like, objectively, it's not the most fun game, but because I tend to beat everybody when I play that, I love that game, right?
Okay, yeah, yeah. I mean, that's okay. So that's the thing with a WrestleMania game. If you know the game, there's a ring on the top. And the ball's in there a long, long time. If it's not in there, you get it back up. You want it to tag team, blah, blah, blah. Get back in the ring. So that's the kind of not fun factor, I think, what WrestleMania sees. Go back to Jaws. My first impression of Jaws, and I sent Elwin a note, is holy shit, this is the best sounding game I have ever played. The sound of the reel, you know, just everything, the clips, everything wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. I look forward to when the code becomes full because there's just so many opportunities there. But right now I'm like, okay, this. I play a lot of the pro. There's a lot of stop and go action. And I'm like, I like the speed of that left orbit shot that flies down as long as the post's not up. But if the post comes up, we're stopping again. The fin comes up. I want to see a little more quicker pace because it seems like a real fast game to me. But then it slows down by the both posts, really. But still, that game could be my favorite game by the time all the code's done, but it's still a winner. Interesting. Okay.
Let me tell you what my favorite game of recent memory is. You ready? And I played it last night and we had a big long conversation. I just went, this game has not aged badly at all. In fact, it is aged better.
Do I know
and
it?
That is, yeah, of course you do. It's a recent game.
Should I guess?
Yeah, go for it.
By Stern?
Yep.
Foo Fighters?
Yep.
Yeah.
Fucking hell. And it's one of those things, you know, you said, oh, I reached out to Keith. I was thinking last night, oh, do I reach out to Jack Danger? But I don't know him that well, so I wasn't going to go randomly. But I wanted to just reach out to him and say, hey, mate, I just want to let you know, after all this time, Foo Fighters has just absolutely aged so well. It is still so much fun. It's just a great game.
I agree. And that's another one that's both competition and fun to play where I look forward to that being in. So Jack Danger, if you're listening, that is Marty Robbins in Australia reaching out with an audio handshake and just saying congratulations on Foo Fighters. It's a masterpiece.
Well, I remember playing at TPFs thinking, and I said to Jack Danger at the time, game of the show, I just thought it was. But, you know, you have those things where you ask yourself, is it a stayer? Is something going to last over time? And it really has. I think it's an absolute classic. Well done.
Any other thoughts on John Wick? Because I have one more.
Well, the only thing I say is that I look forward to playing it. Gungate. I totally get why some people would be angry about it. I also think that it's difficult for me to be in the position of everybody else because guns are not important to me. And I say that...
How dare you, you son of a bitch. We've just lost everybody in Texas. Way to go, fuckhead. Thanks very much.
No, but I'm not wanting to point fingers at anybody, but, you know, I come from a country in Australia where we had a gun massacre God knows how many years ago at Port Arthur. And after that massacre, we then had all guns revoked. So we don't live in a society where everybody's got guns. And I've been to America many times, and particularly some states where they have guns, and seeing people with guns makes me really, really uncomfortable. But what I understand is that those people, they have their guns to make themselves feel really comfortable. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's just a really weird opposite way. I look at the guns and it makes me uncomfortable. They look at the guns and that's what makes them feel secure. That's not right or wrong. That's just a different culture. So I can understand why people are going, well, hang on, if guns are so important to the culture of America, why are you not putting it on the playfield? I logically understand. But from a country that doesn't really care too much about guns, it doesn't bother me.
I'll share my gun story. There's kind of two. So I have never fired a gun. I have nothing against them. I've just never had the opportunity nor desire to do either. I have been offered, in fact, going to Texas Pinball Festival, I was offered to go to a gun range. And I probably would have if I had the time. I didn't. So that opportunity happened a few times. When the pandemic happened and I was worried about the haves and have nots, and I'm saying this fully aware that I wasn't mentally in the best state during the pandemic. I really didn't take it well. Listen to the episode in which we did the Pinburg show. I was really worried about what state of the world is and when will this end and what kind of life is it going to be for my kids, blah, 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 to the point where I said to Anne, I said, do we need to get a gun?
Wow. Okay.
I was really worried. And we, you know, kind of beefed up security at the house after that bullshit that happened on Pinside years and years ago.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
So I was like, fuck, is this gun time? So I fully was aware of that. I had one other thing at, again, Louisville Arcade Expo years and years ago. And Chris Warren, if you're listening, you remember that. And, drinking at a bar after the show, the bar closed, and some guy who we were drinking with was, I think, a firefighter, and he said, the bar's closed. He goes, I got a full bar upstairs, and there were a bunch of us, and we're like, oh, are you sure? He's like, yeah, come on up. We go up, have a few pops. I go, this is great. I go to the washroom. I come back outside, and I see a guy with a gun in the hotel room and kind of displaying it, and I'm like, okay, I'm drunk. It's 3 a.m. in the morning. See ya. I'm out of here. And he's like, no, don't worry. It's not loaded. I'm like, yeah, 3 a.m. hotel room, Kentucky, gun. I know where the story's going, or it just doesn't look good. Like, I don't want to be in that situation. See ya. I'm out of here.
Yep.
So I guess there's a fear in that sense for me when it comes to guns. That's all.
Yeah. That's as much as, I guess what I was trying to say, as much as people feel that it is their right to have guns, it's my belief that guns aren't important, and those opinions are equal.
Sure.
But they're opposite.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, man, teach your own, right? The laws tell you what you can and can't do, and those with guns, I'm sure, are law-abiding citizens that have their permits and all that kind of good stuff and safety checks and blah, blah, blah. Fine. Great. Awesome. We do have one gun right here, and we're going to use it right now. Because it's time to play Who Will Marty Kill? You didn't think I was going to bring it out? You're fucking doing it. You bet
fucking
we are.
Fucking hell.
Yes. One gun, Marty.
Oh, God.
Do you want to know who's in the groups?
No. I hate this game. I genuinely do. But keep going. Let's go. Let's get this over and quick, done as possible. Quickly.
How many messages have you said, hey, man, when are we going to bring that back? Like, it's my shtick. It's me. This is what people love. Marty, just admit it. You fucking love this. And especially with a gun in hand. Oh.
Okay. All right. Bring it on.
In room number one, you have actually a bunch of people.
Okay.
We've never had a group versus a group.
Naked or clothed? I mean, I think that needs to be established up front.
Clothed. We'll just make it safe. All right.
Okay. Not as exciting.
I said there's only one gun.
Okay.
No other pistols have been whipped out. So in the one group, you have the people who are livid that there are no guns on the John Wick artwork of the game. Okay. That's in group one. In the other group, you have the people who are fucking livid that Jaws doesn't eat the ball. And to help your decision, the only people in these rooms are people that are adamant about that without having played the game first.
Well, I mean, that was assumed. I mean, everybody went up in arms about that. Yeah, look, I think I can narrow down the question really is, who do I think is more ridiculous? People that thought Jaws didn't eat the ball versus those people that didn't have gun on John Wick. And it's easy.
By the way, we know people on both sides and they're friends of ours.
We do know. But again, it's just back to me and my personal view and what I think is more ridiculous. And what I think is more ridiculous is Jaws eating the ball. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. But I totally understand that John Wick should have guns on the playfield. I totally get that. Jaws, no, I don't. It's a fucking, oh my God, it's a fucking shark. Sharks, can I just say, oh, you can tell I've been drinking.
And you're in Australia where sharks are actually quite prominent. I've been to Perth. I don't know how much they are on the Sydney side, but Perth, oh my God.
No, somebody actually got attacked off the coast of Sydney very recently by a shark.
Really? Did they have a gun and shoot the great white?
No.
This is
my point. My point is, of all the sharks that I've seen in all the nature documentaries, all of them, I have never seen a shark eat a ball from a pinball machine. I've never seen it happen. I don't know. Am I missing something? Like, is there actually evidence that shows sharks eating fucking pinballs? Is that a thing?
So you asked the question earlier. No, it's not, of course. So I know which group you're. Sorry to that group. Joe Cherovino, we loved you.
Yes, sorry, mate, but ridiculous.
Anyway, by the way, I said that's why I wanted to clarify. These are friends of ours. Joe is a good shit and does wonderful, wonderful things with the Jennies and his pinball degenerates. So we're just poking fun at you, Joe.
And a t-shirt with Marty killed me is on its way.
Okay. You asked earlier, is John Wick a good theme? And I gave the quick yes or no answer without explanation. And I said, yes, because it's topical. They've made 4 movies. It's obviously very successful. So that was yes to me. I will ask you, in 2024, 2023, and whenever it came out, is Jaws a good theme?
Okay. Again, you must have been listening to this conversation that we had over dinner last night. Oh my God, the apple crumble was just the best. Can I just call it out?
Made you forget about those good old cigarettes, eh? For a while, you're like, I'm going to chomp on this one.
Oh, what a fucking cunt. We actually had this discussion last night, almost exactly. And that's why I think I brought it up. It was a John Wick theme versus Jaws theme. And here's why I say that Jaws is still a good theme, is because forget about the movie, a shark, a killer shark, is a good theme in itself, which is timeless. There just happened to be a movie that was a good movie that depicted this. Understand what I mean? Whereas John Wick is a time-appropriate theme. It's only a recent thing, and it's more about the actual movie itself, whereas Jaws is a good movie, but it's a fucking killer shark that doesn't eat balls. People, just understand. It's never, ever eaten a fucking pinball.
Groundbreaking movie, certainly put Spielberg on the map and what he did and what he was able to do when the shark didn't work, all that kind of good stuff. Does that movie get made in 2024? Because let's think about that. The idea of, you know, the shark doing horrible things, dog, children, people. It certainly caused havoc in the fake town of Amity, New York. Does this movie get made this year? Because if it does, people are like, oh, they're trying to kill an endangered species. Like, so people are so adamant, let's fucking kill it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you know what? Interestingly, there was an article that just stumbled across my desk. It was like, you know, the top 10 movies that could never be made today. And one of them was Free Willy. And they're like, oh, you know, you couldn't do a movie about an endangered killer whale. I'm like, oh, okay, I guess maybe you could, you couldn't. And it's exactly that. But also I argue today's cinematography is pretty good. It's really, really good at the moment, particularly TV. We are just in the most amazing renaissance of TV at the moment. Just everything that you, oh, but don't get me started. Oh, don't get me started on TV shows that don't get renewed for a second season. Oh, you fuckers.
Which one hurt you?
Well, okay, let me name a few. The Peripheral, Shadow and Bone, Lockwood and Co. There's some more that I need to think off the top of my head, but there's just a lot of, oh, Night Sky. Oh my God, people, Night Sky with Sissy Spacek is just one of the best TV shows ever, and they didn't renew it for a second season. It just, I don't, oh. Do you know what? Let's bring it back to pinball. It's like Stern releasing a game with unfinished code and saying, oh, sorry, we're not going to finish the code.
Ouch.
That's what it feels like. You've told us the first part of the story. We already know that there's 5 books that have been made. Just fucking make this shit. Oh, frustrates me.
Yeah, I can't think of a show where it ended where it's like, oh, I guess the only one that comes to mind, but it wasn't one season, it was two. Mindhunter, the David Fincher series. I was like, oh, I want more.
Yeah, yeah. I watched the first season of that. It was great.
Second season's even better. Oh, interesting. Okay. I just don't think Jaws gets made. I mean, fuck, you and I both love disco. The movie Saturday Night Fever doesn't get made in 2024. First of all, disco is over, but do you remember, like, Travolta's character rapes the woman in it? Like, she's... No doesn't mean, like, it's fucking horrible. And you're like, whoa, 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 whoa.
Okay. Revenge of the Nerds.
Revenge of the Nerds. That's a total, that can't get made. Absolutely. Because doesn't he wear a mask or something like that?
He does. Girl? He's dressed up as Darth Vader. So she thinks she's having sex with her boyfriend, but she's not. It's not consent.
Listen, I remember, what was it, 84? I remember that movie coming out and going, and I'm 14. I don't even know anything about sex. I'm like, whoa, that's kind of. I don't even know if it was done for comedy or revenge because the movie's called Revenge. I don't know, but it was just, I was a kid who even knew that.
No, I know. The times have changed. And this is the challenge. I know we're digressing, but we're looking at things today that were made 20, 30 years ago with the lens of today. And it's just not fair that it was a different time and people have repented. So, you know.
But that being said, there are some things that happened 20, 30, 40 years ago that probably we didn't see coming as, oh shit, you know, that was offensive, that was wrong. And we've since learned and now, you know, clearly feel that and realize what's happened. I'm wondering what we're doing today that 10, 20 years from now, people are going to be like, you can't do that. And by the way, the answer is this entire podcast.
I was just going to say. We would be cancelled. They would say, look, we need to edit out all the offensive stuff. It would be literally, hi, welcome to...
Goodbye. See you next week.
Thank you. So, I don't know. It's just, it's a crazy time that we're in right now because AI is about to take over, just in case. I think if you remember, years ago, I brought up the topic of AI, way before, I was before everybody else, before the time. It's taking over, guys. It's absolutely taking over. And so people don't realize it, but our lives are about to change significantly in the next 12 months.
Kind of the way in 94, 95, when the internet came on, you know, it really changed things. And once it became more popular and people got past the eeyaw dial-up shit and we got faster internet, you can't remember what life was like before that. Things like encyclopedias were your go-to. Physical books, but now you don't need any of that kind of stuff. And anyway, AI is where we're going for sure. But little secret, I'm not actually Jeff Teolis. This is the AI version of Jeff Teolis.
And you picked an AI version with a terrible Canadian accent, and my AI has got a wheezy smoker's laugh? What?
Yeah.
We programmed that in.
I am not Jeff Teolis. I am, according to one of the funniest things I've seen on the internet, and again, taking a shot at me, from Stacey Borg. Stacey Borg called me, and I laughed. Not Jeff Teolis, Jeff Teoldest. Because, Marty?
Yeah.
I went to a pharmacy, a drugstore, if you will, a drug mart, like a CVS in the States kind of thing, Walgreens, Shoppers here in Canada.
Chemist, we call them here.
Sure, chemists, yeah. And they looked me up and down and said, yeah, we're giving them the 20% seniors discount. And I didn't ask for it. They didn't ask me about it. They just looked and went, yeah, yeah. I wanted to cry because I'm not 55. But I also went, 20%, that's like $10 on this $50 order. I'm good with it. I'm good.
What do you mean? Like you're not 55. You're 54. I mean, it's not like you're 40 going, oh, they thought I was 50. You're literally only 1 year away. However, I know what a barrier it is to have to come to terms with the fact that you get a seniors discount. My partner refuses to get a discount because of that stigma. So anyway, really? Whatever.
Wow. Yeah. I embrace it being I'm not a cheap fuck by any means. I'm very, very generous, but where I can save a buck. Yeah. Hell, what the hell?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like the, oh, I'm really worried about my age, but I'm also really fucking cheap. Oh, the dilemma here.
And then when I got the discount, cause this happens every Thursday, I saw it and I went, Thursday must be your busiest day, isn't it? And they went, oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. You've become that person.
And then I said, well, it's the one good thing about turning 55. Okay, see you later. See you next Thursday.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
Just, yeah. Yep. The discount is worth it.
It's real. I remember my grandfather years and years ago when he turned 65, because that's the general age of retirement. He proudly wore this shirt all the time because he got it on his 65th birthday. And it just simply said, where's the discount? So when I told my aunt, my grandfather's daughter, she said, oh, your grandpa will be so proud. I'm like, I kind of felt that. Yeah, it was good.
So the equivalent for me is when, oh, wow. Is when you turn 50 in Australia. Oh, wow. Oh, when you turn 50 in Australia, you get sent a bowel cancer kit.
Oh, no.
And so they've now sent it to me 3 times because I refuse to do it. I would rather die of bowel cancer than admit that I'm older than 50.
You know what? If 3 strikes and you're out, so what happens then your next birthday? They knock on the door, they quick whip you around and shove a finger up your ass. So you might as well just do the test. By the way, as a male over 50, and there are many of us listening to this program, get that checked out. Get that checked out. It's one of the easy detection things. That's just a little PSA for, we lost a media member here in Canada that died at 57 from prostate cancer. And I just thought, oh, that's first of all, terrible. But secondly, fuck, that's easy detection for a lot of people. So
I know. It also didn't help that during the week, a friend of mine actually messaged me and said that she's got bowel cancer.
Sorry to hear that. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm still not going to do the test.
Do it for your loved ones. Cancer sucks. Fuck cancer. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah. There are a lot of options there. What am I doing? Am I getting tested for cancer or am I fucking myself? Am I doing these things at the same time? What's going on here?
Gentle fingering. It's not going to... It's not that big of a deal.
Stop it. Let's move on. So, Funhouse remake. What do you reckon about it?
I actually played the 2.0 version. And hello, Mark Silk, the voice of it. Mark was kind enough to let me play his machine, and I enjoyed it. I found it very different than the Funhouse I knew. It looked like Funhouse. Mark did a different version of Rudy that was fun. I realized, okay, I got to learn a lot of the rules. Like, I remember very well the left ramp was extremely important, which is kind of something I ignore, really, when I play Funhouse. So You know how I feel about remake games and classic layouts, obviously, because I have put an order in for one of these such games. So I like these ideas. I like seeing games I love that now offer you a second code, and I'll play Funhouse.
But not only that, you've actually now got new cab and playfield art from Flyland Designs, Brian Allen, whom I've met, who's a super, super nice guy.
Okay.
It looks great. It actually looks great.
I've seen Brian's work before. In fact, a good friend of mine, Miles. Hi, Miles. He has a Cactus Canyon and bought the art that actually, so what he does actually, I didn't know this about Brian Allen, for a lot of those different translates, I think he's got Fishtails, you mentioned Funhouse and stuff like that. He actually gets it licensed. And I think, if I recall, when Miles got Cactus Canyon from Chicago Gaming, he purchased that translate either through Brian or through the Chicago website. So good on Brian for doing that.
Yeah, he's done some fantastic translates. I think Monster Bash one he did was fantastic. So what's really interesting is that Flyland Designs or Brian, he actually sent us head-to-head, he actually sent me some stickers and posters and stuff, and some of the stuff he does is just out of this world. It's one of these things, you look at this person and you think, how come he hasn't done a pinball machine before? Well, now he has, and that's it. Just all is right in the world is what I'm saying. So well done, Brian.
It's different, though, doing a translate and then working with the playfield. So they are night and day, because I've seen a lot of different alternate translates by Brian and other artists, but the playfield, it takes a special touch. So if he's, I can't recall seeing the Funhouse 2.0 playfield art, the new one. Pedretti, right?
Yeah, have a look. I mean, it's similar art to the original, but he's just embellished it. Where there was, you know, negative space that just had like a block color of blue, he's actually texturized it or added some intricate details into it. Like what I said before about, you know, there's theme and then there's theme integration art. That's what he's done. He's just elaborated on the integration of the art, and where there was blank spaces, there's now intricate detail. He's done it just a phenomenal, phenomenal job. I actually have this feeling, and I could be wrong, but I have this feeling that he has done playfield art for a homebrew game, and I am talking really slow like this.
Because you're typing on Google or having a dart.
He did the art for Breaking Bad pinball.
Ooh.
And it looks phenomenal.
I saw that. That one does look good, yeah.
Funny enough, it was really funny is that I've actually just Googled it and found out that it was head-to-head pinball that actually shared the image. So whatever.
Wow.
Funny. It looks amazing.
The memory goes when you're a senior.
Well, correct. Yeah, your memory goes completely when you're dead from bowel cancer. That's just
Oh, Jesus.
Let's make that really dark.
You know, okay, if we're going dark. When John Wick came out and people were in outrage, I don't know if you saw the post I put in our little VOD. I'm like, again, they announced John Wick. And before anything was shown, any artwork, I said, does the ball go in the dead dog's mouth? People were like, oh, how can you do that? I'm like, fuck, first of all, I didn't kill the dog. It's a funny joke.
And second of all, the dog didn't even have a name. So if it was really that important to him, he would have given the dog a name. So anyway.
The last bit, and this is all for you, Marty, because you're going to have to inform me. Mm-hmm. I know ABBA's out there, the former 50th anniversary winner of Eurovision, which is obviously a huge, huge show in all of Europe and South Europe, known as Australia. We have a new winner. Who won Eurovision?
It was won by a non-binary individual called Nemo with a song called The Code. Thank you.
Was it 1.0?
Well deserved. There are three aspects that as an act you can lean into. First one is the novelty side of it, whether you will actually just do a novelty act that will make you laugh. B is actually create a genuinely good song. And three is whether you're going to put on a good visual show. And there's obviously combinations of all of that. What I will tell you about Nemo everybody that watches it, you might not necessarily like the song. It's a bit of breakbeat, drum and bass sort of song and a bit of opera here and a bit of there. And it's a boy in a dress, just so you know, non-binary. So that might be a bit off-putting for some people. But there's this thing that happens with this spinning disc in the middle of the stage where I don't want to spoil it. I want people to watch it where you just go, holy crap, you won it as soon as you did that. Sweden was robbed. Sweden was robbed is what I'm going to tell you right now.
Which country hosted it?
Sweden.
Oh, they were the winners last year?
They were the winners last year. So an act called Marcus and Martinez had a song called Unforgettable. Again, the staging for this thing is just like you've never seen. But Eurovision, sure. It's the same thing every year where, you know, the acts that you loved, like Australia didn't even qualify for the finals.
I thought you told me recently, and again, I've never seen the show. I've seen some highlights. I thought Australia was no longer going to be in Eurovision.
No, they were worried about it. So what's actually happened was they used to have a almost like an Australian Idol where all these acts would compete and the act that won would then represent Australia. They stopped. They got it wrong so many times that the last 2 years they've just sent an act. And the act that they sent this year came second in one of those qualifying things a few years ago with a fantastic song. So they're a group called Electric Fields and they had a song called 2000 and whatever, which was a great song. This time they had a song called Milkali something. Anyway, it means one blood in the language, indigenous language. And it just wasn't as good, unfortunately.
Has Australia ever won it?
No, we came second. Dami Im had a song, I can't even remember what it's called, Sound of Silence, I do now. And it came second and it was so close and it would have come first, but people are still very anti-Australia being in Eurovision.
Because for sure.
Neither is Israel. So that was the big controversy of this year was the fact that Israel competed this year and everybody was protesting. Russia hasn't been in Eurovision for the last couple of years, obviously because they invaded a country. So what I'm saying is if you just turned on Eurovision and you watched it, and you can watch it on YouTube, everyone's got all these recaps and the full shows, it's just fun to watch. But behind the scenes, there's just so much shit going on and so many people protesting Israel being there. There was an act that actually got...
Who's the governing body of all this? How are they non-biased?
They're called the European Broadcasting Unit. No. EBU, the European Broadcasting something. I can't remember. Anyway, so it was a bit of a mess, but still very, very entertaining. Croatia, for the second year running, got robbed. They probably should have won.
I remember the one last year. It was fucking awesome.
Yeah, remember? That was that cha-cha-cha. This year was just as bonkers crazy, but really, really good. It was just entertaining. One thing I love about Eurovision every year is that it's the time of the year that Ryan and I chat the most because we both love Eurovision so much.
I wish it was a bigger thing here because I hear your passion. I've heard others talk about it. There was a time when I religiously watched American Idol.
Yes, yep, Sam.
And I can tell you when I stopped watching it, and I've never seen an episode since. It's when Adam Lambert lost.
Adam Lambert didn't win. Do you know what? If you had stopped right then, I would have said to you, I bet you it was when Adam Lambert lost.
I was like, that is the most entertaining singer I have ever seen, and just different takes. I mean, you could tell he wowed Queen on the spot to the point where he's been touring with them ever since. And just...
Do you think he suffered for not winning?
Do you think? No. And a lot of Jennifer Hudson would be another one. Chris Daughtry would be another one that losing might have been the best thing for them. But then there's been success stories too. Kelly Clarkson.
Yeah.
Carrie Underwood.
Yeah, for sure.
But there have been some duds too, for sure. But anyway, okay.
Anyway, there you go.
Are we done?
Yeah, I think we are.
I will end this by saying you probably won't hear from me for a while because I'm doing a lot of traveling, Marty.
Yeah, I know. But is it all pinball travel or is it work travel?
None of it's work travel.
Yeah, it's all pinball.
Pinball leisure. So, again, recording this on May 19th. I'm in Chicago on the Thursday, the, I don't know, 23rd or whatever it is. I'm in Winnipeg, Manitoba for a little tournament that they're running there that the people are wonderful. They've always supported my pinball profile events and other events I've run. So, it's nice to be able to go back and spread the love, so to speak, and check out their fine venue. So that's Manitoba. And then I go to the Rochester Pinball Collective for their sixth annual Stomp event in Rochester, New York. Looking forward to that. Then I'm off to California for a couple of weeks. The World Championship is happening. IFPA 19 at Jim Belsito's wonderful place. And there was a stream just recently on Aimless Pinball, so I got to check out some of the machines. And wow, this is going to be a lot of fun for the 80 of us that are coming from all over the world to this great event. So there for a week, stay in California for a week when my wife and kids come down, and we do a little bit of sightseeing, traveling, all that kind of good stuff. And then I basically come home and leave immediately for Edmonton for Yegpin, Canada's biggest tournament, a huge match play tournament. And looking forward to going to that for, I think, maybe the fifth or sixth time. So 5 weekends in a row. I've kind of laid low for a little while. I did Indisc and then didn't do much for a little bit, but it comes in gangbusters right now. And then since last time we talked, the Beast went on sale and quickly sold out. That's for August 1st to 4th in Buffalo, New York at Pocketeer Billiards. So busy, busy time. We've got Papa coming up in September. I've got Pinburg the week before. Oh, the Beast. So just there's a lot of go for this guy. So we'll see if this show doesn't come out till July. Marty was editing.
I'm editing. And there's your competitive pinball talk for this episode, at least, everyone.
Oh, fuck. It's fun. It really it's tiring. That's the thing. A lot of these tournaments are really, really tiring, especially the multi-tournaments, multi-day, 15-hour days. Pacing has got to be the thing I really concentrate, because just playing all the time, you can go through an hour or 2 hour stretch where you're just wasting your time, your money. It's best just to walk away and maybe grab a nice meal, reset, do whatever you can. But I'm sure we'll talk about that in future episodes.
Yeah, good stuff. Well, if you do need to email us.
Yeah, do it, eh? Come on, eh? How about it? Oh, we actually had some good emails, too. I mean, we had the big dick.
They were follow-up emails.
Yeah.
Oh, we love people emailing us. All people emailing us. You will make us laugh regardless whether you intend to or not. But email us at photoroundpinball@gmail.com. None of the other social media stuff we care about. So just do that. Or message us via Facebook. That also works. So there you go.
Hey, we didn't talk about the young ones. It's great. Alex Moss liked my rebuttal. Thank you, Alex.
Thanks, Alex. He's a good guy.
Hamish.
And hello, Hamish again. Hamish is just a legend.
Yeah, the call. So thanks for the emails. We will be on, I guess, Instagram as well, somewhere, Final Round Pin probably, and our Facebook group. So thanks for listening to our fine little show. We appreciate it. And we will do it again soon. That's it, Marty.
Okay, bye, everyone. What a cunt.